Well, I am excited, truly. I'm filled up. I'm really overflowing, and I want to share some things with you. But before I do, before we pray, as Rodney talked about wandering minds, and then he asked Steve if Steve rode his motorcycle to church. Y'all should know, when Steve rides his motorcycle to church, he puts his hair in a ponytail. So that's a dead giveaway. So when he has his hair in a ponytail, he's ridden his bike to church. And a banjo. He normally has his banjo on that day. So hair in a ponytail and banjo just a flaming. So that's a motorcycle Sunday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your great grace that you have poured out upon us. Lord, we confess openly that we are undeserving of your grace, that you have poured out so liberally upon us. And Lord, not only are we unworthy, Lord, we treat it so carelessly. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Thank you for the grace that you have poured upon this body of believers that gather together as New Hope. Lord, thank you for what you have done in this church, for how you have richly blessed us. Thank you for those gifts. Lord, only you have done this. And Lord, we pray, Lord, please, we pray that as long as you tarry, that New Hope Baptist Church will be faithful to you and only you. That no matter where the world goes, no matter where everybody else goes, that we will stand upon the rock here until you come back for your church. Thank you for this morning. We pray, Lord, that it will be honoring and glorifying to you and you alone. Lord, grant repentance in this place today. Do the work that only you can do. Change hearts for your honor and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of things that I want to say. There's no way that I can say everything that I want to this morning. It's impossible, an impossible task. But there's some things that I truly want to share with you this morning. I don't know when it exactly happened. I was trying to think of it. But it's been a few months. So it's been a little while, not a long time, but a little while. I was asked a question that really has made me think a whole lot. And the question basically went like this. What has happened at New Hope? Why is New Hope not where it once was? And as I pondered and prayed and meditated and asked the Lord about that question, the truth of it, there's a lot of answers to it, but the bottom line truth is, I believe that New Hope has been at ease in Zion. That's just the truth. I feel like that we have had all of our I's dotted and all of our T's crossed, and we have been so polished, but there has been no heart. And I'm just being truthful with you. As we have gone through this process of elders and deacons, I have sat back and watched the nominations and the affirmations and the process that we have gone through, and I have watched this happen, and I'll be honest, I've been some surprised at some nominations, and I was surprised at some that weren't nominated. But I have seen the hand of God through this process, and I want to share something with you. There was a time, and as being pastor at New Hope for 25 years, I've seen a lot. And there was a time in the early years when New Hope had near to nothing. Not a lot of people, and definitely not a lot of resources. Seriously, I mean, we're in the fat years compared to what, and we're still skinny. Don't get me wrong, but we're in the fat years compared to what it was like. But there was one thing that was always so amazing, was it was this little church had a lion's heart. And it seemed like every time God would constantly bring, and listen, I've sat down and I started just writing out, chronicling different ministries and different things that were going, that had happened and went on at New Hope. And it was amazing at the things that God would lay upon this little country church in the Wildwoods that had few people and less resources, but truly believed God was sovereign and took on tasks that really, I'll be honest with you, I sat back many times going, are we crazy? There's something wrong with us. A rational person people wouldn't do this. And time and time and time again, we saw God-sized miracles happen that only He did. And listen, I'm not even going to go through the list. There's no way possible. But you guys, just one. Do you know there are many churches that go through their whole history that never have a ministry like we have experienced in China? Never. A church could go through a whole lifespan and never see anything like that. And there have been thousands of people come to know Jesus in China because of New Hope. This little motley crew. We can go on and list. I can list them for you. And as I was thinking through this and watching quietly, watching this process that we've gone through, because listen, since October 2018, New Hope has been through some pruning. Amen? And listen, if you have your biblical theology in order and you're mature enough, you understand that pruning only comes from the hand of God. Amen? Okay. So as I have watched this process of leaders and nominations and affirmations and interviews and us going, I've sat back and I'll be honest with you. I have seen a heart that I haven't seen in a long time. And it's a little scary. And you can ask these men that I'm going to pray over soon. I was telling them when we finished this process and we knew, I told them, guys, you need to get ready. Buckle up. For God is about to start giving us stuff, and we're going to have, it's not going to be long. Get ready for the ride. So I've seen a heart in these men that are not polished. They don't have their I's dotted and their T's crossed. But they have a passion. They love Jesus. They love their families. And they love you guys. And it's a heart that I haven't seen in a long time. And I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Now what they and us do with that, that's between God and us that are here today. And I know I was sick a few weeks ago when I shared with you who they were, and when I was sharing with you about the reaffirmation process, and in our Constitution, we, the leaders, elders, and deacons are supposed to be reaffirmed every year. And we haven't done it, and it's wrong, and we're repenting of that, and we're doing it. Our leaders are going to be reaffirmed every year, and it's not a vote. It's not, did they get more yeses than noes? It's not like that. It's, well, we need to pray about why you got five noes. Do you understand? What is this about, and what's going on in your life spiritually, and what's happening here, and what do we need to do about this? And we're doing this every year, and it's accountability before y'all and before God. But I want to share with you that what I see in these men, they're not perfect. I'm telling you, they're not perfect. They're flawed. But I see a heart. And I think that God chose these men. I believe that. I watched it. With that said, and there's a lot more that's going on in my head, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read five verses, verse 1 through 5. And this is really a charge to these men. I'm going to ask them to come up in just a little while, and I'm going to pray over them. But this is also a charge to the church. This is a charge to these men. Absolutely it is. And they need to listen clearly. But this is also a charge for you guys to grab a hold of and hear. So let's read these first five verses. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, who is the pastor at the church in Ephesus. And boy, did he have his hands full with a messed up group of people. Hello? Amen? Look around. Here goes. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge, underline that, the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Here it is. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So here goes. I know you're not going to believe this, but I've got 10 points that I'm very quickly I'm going to give you. So if you have a pencil and pen, you better write them down in a hurry. And if I need to post them, I will. I'll do that. So 10 things that we need to look at. Really 9. Number 1 is this. Remember your calling. Verse 1. Remember your calling. This was not just to Timothy. This was not just to preachers. This was really, if you look at the layout of this whole letter, this was to all believers, but especially to the leaders of the church, but to the body of Christ as a whole. It is a wake-up call for the body of Christ. Are you listening to your commander and to your chief? Are you listening to the Lord? You call Him Lord. Are you listening? Remember your calling. He saved you for a reason. Amen? It was not for you to just sit on the sideline and do what you want to do. Remember your calling. Number 2, and 2A, preach the word. Now let me help you with this. Of course it means preaching the word of God like right now. Of course it means that. But it's much more than that. It actually means proclaiming the gospel. Proclaim the word. And there's a lot of things that we proclaim in this world that we do so easily, but we don't proclaim the gospel. Listen, we can proclaim grandkids. That's easy, right? We can proclaim our houses and our cars. Look at this and look at that. We can even proclaim our jobs. Talk about our jobs. And Lord, have mercy. We can proclaim hunting and fishing all day long. We can proclaim a lot of things. We can even proclaim our church. But do we proclaim the gospel? The gospel. Do we proclaim the gospel of grace? We have only one message. The Lord Jesus has delivered one message to His people. One. What are we saying to others about that? The proclamation of God's Word must be the very heart of every church. Listen to me. If your church is built, if the gospel and the proclamation of His Word is not the center of the church, it's not a church. There's a lot of churches, buddy, it's built off music, it's built off programs, they're built off a lot of other things, but it's not the Word. When we were reading and it talked about that they don't endure sound doctrine, that they're taken away by their own desires, they heap for themselves teachers, all of these things. Listen, when people even are drawn into churches by the decor, by how the church looks. When they're When you go to church for everything else other than the gospel, you're in trouble. You're being enticed by your own desires and led astray. You can have other things, but the gospel must be center, right? It must be the foundation. The proclamation and the preaching of His Word. Does God's Word, we talked about this in brief last week, does God's Word shape everything in your life? Yes or no? Does it shape your marriage? Does it shape your finances? Your job? What your family life? What your time? Does the Word of God shape everything in your life? That doesn't mean being perfect. Three, be faithful in season and out of season. 2B, verse 2, part B. Paul reminds Timothy that it's a never-ending task. You don't get spiritual retirement. Did you hear me? Hear me. You don't get to say, oh, I'm done. I'm retiring. Good luck with that. I'm telling you, listen to me, child of God. You do that, you stop growing. You stop pursuing Christ. You decline in your, you corrode. You take time off. Sit on the sideline. Watch. And your soul will decay. Get comfortable. Do what you want and your soul will decay. Be faithful in season, out of season. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter to me how you feel. It doesn't matter how others feel. The only thing that matters is how God feels. Right? Is that the truth? Do you believe that? Whatever is popular is not the right answer. It's what God's Word says. Be obedient. Then I'm going to lump these three together. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two negatives and a positive, really. And he says in this, we should confront sin and then encourage repentance. A church that confronts sin and encourages repentance is going to be in a lot of ways, in some ways, let's don't say a lot of ways, let's say in some ways, an uncomfortable church. Don't compromise, this is next, verse 3 and 4. Don't compromise in difficult times. Why are people unwilling to hear sound doctrine? It's because they love their sin more than they love truth. They don't want to change. Do you hear me? If you love your sin and you're protecting yourself, you don't want to hear the truth. So when you do that, you don't want to hear sound doctrine. You don't mind hearing great music. and seeing great buildings and doing great, but you don't want to hear sound doctrine. Because that means you either, what do you have to do? What does a believer have to do when he hears the truth? What does he have to do? Right. Be obedient. So don't tell me. If you don't tell me, then I don't have to, what? Change. And so they gather and they go and they want to have their ears tickled to their own damnation. The Bible nowhere teaches that to reach the world, we must soften the gospel. The Bible nowhere teaches that to reach out and to make the gospel more palatable, that we have to change the way that we do things. Remember this. There's three really, I've said this 1,000 times, there's three really basic principles. This is it. God has not changed, is number one. And you can take these principles, you could go to China, you could go to North Korea, you can go anywhere, any zip code, any time zone, any place, and this is the gospel truth. Number one, God has not changed. Number two, men's hearts are still the same. They're black and sinful everywhere. On the Amazon, in Korea, in India, and in Mariana, Florida. Men's hearts are black. And number three, here it is. The church has the only message of salvation. That's it. There's no, you can't go anywhere else. Listen, Washington, D.C. doesn't have the message. Thank you. They're not going to save you. The UN doesn't have the correct message. They're nowhere else. God has delivered the gospel of grace to His body, to the church. We have the only message that saves men's souls. We're it. That's how come they can drop us in the middle of North Korea, and guess what? We have the only message. Well, I don't speak Korean. You don't think God can bring somebody along that speaks English and Korean and can help deliver that message with you? Don't compromise. Are you willing to stand for the truth no matter what's going on around you? I don't know what number we're on, but the next one. Be sober in all things. Verse 5. We've been talking about this too because Isaiah has been talking about being drunk and not off of wine. But he was saying, you're acting silly. You're not thinking clearly. Look at how look at what you're doing and how you're acting. You're not thinking with a clear mind. You're acting like you're drunk. Here Paul is saying here, be sober. Be sober-minded. Be a solid person, a stable person, a balance, a consistent person. Listen, Christian, stop running around like you're Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Who cares what's happening in Washington, D.C.? God is still on the throne. I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned that we're more concerned what's going on in Washington, D.C. than you are in your own home. Amen? I mean, hell, hey, please somebody jump up. Right? You're more concerned. Thank you, Isaac. That's my man right there. We're more concerned with what's going on in Washington, D.C. than we are in our own marriage. That's wrong. Do you hear me? We're more concerned. We listen to talk radio and we're more concerned with what's going on than we are concerned with our children, our families. What is wrong with that? I'm sorry for the visitors. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. So be sober. Be sober. Are you like this? Or do you run around going, whoa, the sky's falling. What do I do? How do I do? Is your God, is He on the throne? The next number, whatever. What is it? Six. Okay, that's what, six. Seven. Okay, Rick's on seven. What now? His mind's been wandering. All right. Come on back. The next number. Endure hardships. This is interesting. This is very interesting to me. 5b. Paul's warning them here. The notion that being committed to God's Word can both be effective and painless is a lie. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. This thought and philosophy that's in the church. You know, there's a lot of decisions that are made in church about how is it going to be easy? Can we do this? Do we have enough people? Do we have enough of this? Do we have, which is good. You need to discuss those things. But they forget to ask the most important question. God, do you want us to do this? I have seen this with my own eyes. If God calls you to do something, He is going to provide the means. I have seen it. And this notion, this thought, this philosophy that the church has bought into, that being committed to the Word of God, it can both be effective and painless, is not the truth. Ministry is messy. You get down in the dirt. It hurts. It's never painless. God moves you and pushes you out of your comfort zone. Imagine this. Imagine the Lord sitting on His throne going, I'm going to pick on Philip. Philip, I'm sorry, buddy. Talking to Philip and saying, Philip, listen, I know you don't like to do this and I know you're uncomfortable with this, so I'm not going to ask you to do this. I'll find somebody else. Imagine if the Lord only gave us tasks that we were comfortable with. Hello?
Here am I, Lord.
Here am I, Lord. And remember Isaiah 6. He says, how long do I do this? And he said, until everything is laid waste. Keep reading in that. What if we God only delivered to us what we were comfortable with? He wouldn't get... There'd be a lot... Listen. Well. Blessed are the feet. Beautiful are the feet. Amen. Thank goodness, Lord, that you give us stuff that overwhelms us, that moves us, that breaks us, that makes us so uncomfortable we don't know what to do with it. We don't even know where to put it in a category. Thank God, because when it does happen, you know who did it. Amen? Isn't that the church you want to be a part of? Or do we just want to do flannel graph Jesus? And move? Is that what we want to do? We can have nice, clean, pure, stainless steel... what's another word that I can... Clean, we can come in, y'all can clock in, we can clock out, you can give money, we can send money, y'all go home, do live your own lives. I will be looking for another church. I can't do it. And so when he says here, endure hardships, he's almost warning us. He's almost saying, listen, you need to know with the gospel ministry, there's hardships. Why would he say that? Why would he say, hey, why wouldn't he say, hey, listen, and by the way, when you do this, man, it's going to be a bed of roses. Man, it's going to be streets paved with gold. I've told the leaders this. I've told them. I've talked to them. And I'm going to talk to them a whole lot more. We've got some more meetings coming. And I've told them, y'all need to buckle up. Because Satan's going to attack you. Church, endure hardships. Because when you do ministry, Satan gets ticked off. Amen. I'm just telling you. Buckle up. All right. I'm almost done. Good gracious. All right, real quick. Next number. Do the work of an evangelist. One way to bring glory to God is to be obedient and share in His Word. People... When was the last time that you shared the gospel with anybody, especially your family? And last point, fulfill your ministry. Now I'm going to tell you this, and we're about to go through a big push with this. But everybody that's a believer should have a ministry. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, You need to have a ministry. The truth is, you need to not just have a ministry here doing, helping our church to do, but you need to have a ministry outside. You need to be about, you're called into the ministry. God has saved you. He's poured out His grace. What are you doing? All members are ministers. If you are a Christian, He has called you into this. Be obedient. God did not save you to fill a pew. Amen? All right. That's a lot. If our leaders would come forward, I'm going to pray for them. Come on. This motley crew of guys, look how good looking they are. What a wonderful group. Just like I said, these men are not polished. Amen. Thank you, Greta. They don't have all their I's crossed. They don't have all their, I meant their I's dotted. And their T's crossed. But they love Jesus. And they love you. And I'm telling you, church, buckle up. Okay? Because we are going to see the face of God through wonders. And we're going to struggle and we're going to cry and we're going to weep together. And it's going to be glorious. Do you hear me? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for these men. I thank You for what You're doing in New Hope. Lord, it's like the old calling. The old gospel calling. Lord, I pray for these men. I pray that You would fill them with Your Spirit. Lord, You tell us that if we say, if we confess that we are weak, You will be made strong in our weakness. Lord, we confess openly we are weak. We are weak. You tell us if we lack wisdom to ask You to, and You will give wisdom liberally. Lord, we confess we lack it. Lord, please. Help us. Give us wisdom to do what You are asking us to do. Lord, may we have the heart of David. May You say of these men, of myself, Lord, may You say that they have a heart after Me. Lord, help them to learn to trust each other. Help them to learn, knit their hearts together, our hearts together. Help us to walk together, Lord, to do this that You are asking us to do for Your honor, for Your glory, for Your kingdom's sake, for Your name's sake. Not New Hope's name, not anybody else, but Your name. But for Your glory and honor. Lord, I pray, protect their marriages. Keep their eyes pure. Protect their hearts. Lord, may they do right with their finances. May they do right with their time. May they do right with their speech. Lord, You do this work. You do it, Lord. For You. And Lord, if You have to remove, You do that for Your honor and glory. You hold us accountable, Lord. You do this. I thank You for these men. I thank You for the church. Lord, I pray for patience with our body, that as we learn how to walk together and how to do this work of the ministry together, that they will be patient with us, Lord, that You will help them to be mature, Lord, that You would help them to love instead of always be so critical, Lord, that You would help them and that these men would earn the trust of Your body and that they will honor that trust and work hard May these men outwork everybody in the church for Your honor and glory. Lord, I thank You for them. Lord, I pray that the years to come at New Hope will be the glory years, that You will do great and mighty wonders, and we will all sit back. We will be amazed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.